It is difficult to fathom that we have over 7,739,500,000 or more brothers and sisters of the human race presently living on this planet at this very time. Can you imagine that? Over 700 billion. That means that at this point we are just one of those numbers. Just one. It is amazing also to realize that each person on this multitude has his or her own unique personality, talent, dreams, and desires. Well, of course, with such a multitude, there will be people driven by cross purposes with others. Competition to reach one's goals thus can be extremely fierce. Of course, many just become satisfied with what life gives them and adjust accordingly, making no waves and lower their expectations and drive. Often they are the result of propaganda which they buy into that, well, that's life. You just accept your common plight. Others may fall prey to false hope that promises, just wait, for you will be helped to achieve your life's desires, while in reality, you are just a pawn or stepping stone for their own life's fulfillment. In the midst of so many people, what difference do I make in the long run? One person doesn't count and doesn't make a difference. Is it worth living a life always trying to fight the so-called odds of not being able to fight City Hall? This attitude becomes prevalent when society faces crises, threatening the well-being of many, perhaps including ourselves. At this point, we must take note of history, where people have given up and no one nor any group rises to meet the challenges, disaster does indeed follow. But on the other hand, there are example after example of individuals who do not accept defeat and are able to meet the challenges and overcome them. What they all seem to have in common is not only a deep commitment to what they believe, but also the undying persistence to reach their desired outcome. They're persistent. Nothing gets in their way. Next week is Reformation Sunday, in which we vividly see the persistence of a once lowly monk to actually change the course of history. Luther never gave up despite all odds. Then there are the stories of how individuals and groups have carried forth struggles over many years and even generations in order to progress in their endeavors. It is like a persistence handed down from generation to generation. I have been plodding through an almost too detailed book of history of the working men and women in the United States from its beginning. It is a story of a struggle to create the middle class, which had failed in successful attempts to organize in order to gain livable wages. It's a story of success and failures. The book especially cites the plight of single working women who, although worked diligently as seamstresses in the early 1800s, could not support themselves and families on a dollar a week. They may have been left widowed and had families, but all they could manage to get together in their peace work would be a dollar a week. It was hard enough for men to survive on $6 a week. So many of these women were forced into prostitution. That's why prostitution was very much alive in the 19th century. There just were not many jobs for the single woman. But these men and women never gave up. They persisted in gaining political and organizational power. Eventually, unions gained enough power to force the sharing of the wealth earned by their labor. It turned the whole economic system upside down. You see, the rise of the middle class just didn't happen, nor did the power of the ballot box just happen. They were hard earned through years and years and years of persistence, and generation of persistence. For instance, the right for women to vote, which would help women to gain financial strength also, took many years of persistence, like that of Susan B. Anthony. Although some challenges are met through the persistence of like-minded people, persistence begins with the individual. Jesus, in his lesson this morning, is presenting a parable. A parable about this and our relationship with God. He tells of a certain judge who neither feared or believed in God, nor did he have any regard or respect for the people in his territory, for he was a Roman judge. To no one's surprise, these judges were often corrupt. Not much has changed, I guess. Their basis of justice was founded in a system of payoffs, influence, and bribery. A story that could be told today. Unless there was a payoff or a high influence involved, a plaintiff would have little to no chance of winning, no less even being given a hearing. The case would just fall on deaf ears. In Jesus' parable, this is exactly what was happening. It was this widow who evidently had a very legitimate grievance. Now, being a widow, she would neither have the payoff money nor the influence for the judge to do any more than to customarily ignore her. Even though she knew the odds were against her, and even though she was not ignorant of the corrupt judicial system of the Romans, she proceeded to the judge seeking justice against her opponent. And of course, the judge, being true to his profession and corrupt system of justice of that day, did what he always did in such cases. He ignored her. Ignored her. To him, she was just an annoyance. But you know, this woman, though, was unlike any other. As time went on, this judge soon discovered that fact. Out of sheer desperation for peace, he finally said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." Like many persistent people, her persistence paid off, for she was victorious and received justice. Now, what does this all mean? First, it must be understood, the judge in this parable was not meant to represent God. Just the opposite. Jesus clarifies this when he says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." God does not delay. God does not put off. Jesus was saying God had compassion, not like the corrupt judge. And God is swift in his response to his children's cry for help. Sounds good. But in reality, is his answer always so swift? Additionally, if it is, why is persistence a necessary quality in our pleas for God? Being persistent in our relationship with God is what is important. Being persistent in our relationship to God is what is important. Not the pleas that we present him. Those whose life is and increasing, unceasing prayer are the ones who find the reality of a relationship with an understanding of God. That's the persistence. This relationship is enhanced by a life of persistent prayer. Now, what am I talking about this? I am not talking about perhaps formalized prayers, but rather the day in and day out relationship with God. That relationship which we share our thoughts, our needs, our pains, our sorrows, as well as our successes and joys with Him. It's that ongoing relationship which is prayer. The life of prayer is, as we live in this His presence, wherever we may be, sharing the nitty-gritty of the realities of life, or wherever we may go. That is the persistent in prayer. That is the life of prayer. This does not preclude or deny the existence of those quiet times which we set aside to voice particular prayers. There is the persistence in these times of prayer also. But secondly, this persistence can be said to include prayers by others. There have been studies which seem to indicate that in cases of prayers for the sick, the more known people who pray in their behalf, the healing process seems to respond better. This is the persistence of collective prayers of the fellowship of believers, the body of Christ. And I don't have to point to anything else that, because we have experienced that in our own fellowship. Third, the persistence of prayer may not seem to give us our desired wishes or results. Just may not. On the surface, this may be very true, for the answer may come with unexpected and asked for results. This is not an indication of a less loving God. Far from it. In growing up, there were times in which we sought something from our parents. Maybe permission to do something, and they denied our request. Does that mean they didn't love us? Not at all. For the denial was most likely for our own good. Their knowledge of life did what was best for us, or which kept us out of harm's way. They had a much greater perspective of life than we did. The answer, although it was made out of love, was not the answer we wished, but the answer of love. This is the same with God. His perspective of life and the understanding for us is far greater than we can comprehend. And thus we may choose another answer than we anticipated. It is no less an answer out of love. Finally, it takes the persistence of faith to understand and accept God's answer to our prayer for life. It is this persistence of faith which can be so difficult to live. This is why Jesus ended up saying, "And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The prerequisite to prayer is the persistence of faith that God's presence is a reality in us. This then leads to the persistence of prayer as we walk through life in the presence of God. It is only then that our persistence will have the desired outcome which we seek. This life of persistence will have the ultimate of outcomes, the ultimate victory, for it will bring eternal presence within God's love. This is our joy, which gives us the hope to continue to live that life in Christ, no matter the trials along the way. Persistence in faith, persistence in prayer, persistence in knowing God's presence will pay off big time for all of us. Amen.